The time has now arrived for the baptism discourse. We invite all baptism candidates who have not already done so to come to the front seating section on the ice level. We know that the candidates, along with their families and friends, are filled with joy and excitement. Yet baptism is also a serious occasion, especially for the baptism candidates. It marks the beginning of a new life course, which will call for continued faith and endurance. How can all of us, whether new disciples or seasoned Christians, maintain the spiritual strength needed to overcome trials? Let us give our close attention to Brother Joel Ramcharan from the Castle Downs Edmonton congregation as he presents the talk, Follow His Steps Closely After Baptism.
So who do you admire? Who do you think highly of? And you're not allowed to vote for yourself. Is it your parents? They're hardworking, they're loving, they're kind, they're generous. We can probably go on. Is it members of the governing body? We see how tirelessly they work in our behalf. Or maybe it's that elderly couple in your hall. You know, the one that's, they have health problems, but they're at each and every meeting, every week. They go in service every week. They're a very good example. Do you agree that we tend to become like those we admire the most? We try to imitate them? You know, in the world, the most admired person, according to one reliable source, is the owner of a large software computer company. And I think you probably know who he is. He has glasses. His first name rhymes with Will. Yeah, you know who he is. For true Christians, though, the most admired person who ever walked the earth, without a doubt, is Jesus. And it's not because he created some large multinational company. It's because he did more. He died for all mankind. And in doing so, became God's chief agent of life and of salvation. Friends, I invite you to open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. So Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Do you notice what it says there? It says, furthermore, there is no salvation in anyone else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must get saved. Yes, salvation is directly tied in to Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he was the writer of 14 books of the Christian Greek scriptures. He exhorted others to look intently at Jesus and his fine example. So what does it mean to look intently at something or someone? Well, have you ever done that? Well, you know what children do? Don't they look intently at their parents? For instance, this time of the year, dad's outside, he's cutting the grass, and he's working on the front lawn with his lawnmower, and he's going back and forth, back and forth. And the son is standing inside the front window, and he's looking at his dad, and his dad is going back and forth, back and forth. And what does the young boy want to do? Well, he wants to go cut the grass. So what do the parents have to do? Well, they have to go and get him one of those, you know, those orange lawnmowers? The back wheel has a funny sound when you push it. And when the dad's outside and he's cutting the grass, while the son is on the driveway walking back and forth, just like his father. He wants to imitate his father. Or maybe it's that young girl, and she's mesmerized by her mother, as her mother is with the rolling pin, and she's rolling out the dough to make some apple pies. So she stands over in the corner, and the mom sees her and eventually coaxes her out of the corner, gets her involved, gives her the rolling pin, and before long, as she's happy, flowers flying all over the place, she's happy. She's imitating her mother. You know, in a sense, we are all children, aren't we, when we compare to how long Jesus has been alive. But let's look at another scripture that really focuses in on how we can follow Jesus intently. So it's found in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. There it reads, "In fact, to this course you were called, because even Christ suffered for you, leaving a model for you to follow his steps closely." Yes, leaving a model for you to follow his steps closely. So that sounds a little bit daunting, doesn't it? To have Jesus as your role to follow. But baptismal candidates, think about it this way. You've already taken the step of dedicating your life to Jehovah, just like Jesus did. You're now presenting yourself to be baptized, just like Jesus did. So you're well on your way. And in fact, those steps that you have taken represent a conscious decision on your part to do God's will come what may. So you have made a very wise decision. And it is my pleasure to extend a very warm welcome to all of you baptismal candidates. From his youth on, Jesus showed a keen interest in the scriptures, and he meditated upon them. Do you remember about 2 months ago, maybe 2.5 months ago, in our study edition of the Watchtower, the opening illustration was a caption of Jesus. And he was sitting right in the, he was in the temple, he's about 12 years old, and he was sitting right in the middle of the teachers. And do you remember what he was doing? Well, as we saw in our drama yesterday in the video, he was listening and he was asking questions. But what was so beautiful about that illustration in our Watchtower was it showed the quizzical look on the face of the older men. And they were looking at each other, looking at Jesus, and they're saying, "Who is this child?" And isn't that what the scriptures say? That they were in constant amazement at his understanding and his answers. So yes, from a young age, Jesus showed a keen interest in the scriptures. Other than this account that we just spoke about, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about Jesus as a young man, but they do give us a very clear picture about his life after he was baptized. Immediately after his baptism coming out of the water, well, what happened? Well, it mentions that the heavens were opened up to him. So that seems to indicate that his memory of his pre-human existence came back to him. And then he heard that wonderful voice, that voice that he knew so well, say to him, "This is my son, the beloved, whom I have approved." So you can imagine how wonderful that would have been for Jesus to hear that familiar voice. So as you know, baptismal candidates, you will not actually hear the voice of Jehovah approving of your baptism, but you have the scriptural assurance that you are doing the right thing and that Jehovah is very pleased with your decision. You candidates have imitated Jesus by studying his word, by meditating on his word. You've continued to look not only at his word, but also to study Bible-based publications. And so we encourage you to continue doing that. Continue studying his word. Continue reading the publications, associating with your brothers and sisters. Allow these ones in the congregation to be your friends, to be close to you. Yes, and of course, continue to pray to Jehovah for help. He will be there to help you. Before his baptism, Jesus was known as the carpenter, and we know that. And it appears that he led a fairly normal life, working at his trade on a daily basis. But it was after his baptism that he entered the full-time service to Jehovah. And then he became known as something else. Do you remember what that was? Well, let's have a look at the scripture. John 13 and verse 13. John 13 and verse 13. You notice what it says there? "You address me as teacher and Lord, and you are correct, for I am such." So what was he now called? Well, he's now called the teacher. And what did he teach people about? Well, he taught people about the kingdom of the heavens. And so perhaps prior to your getting baptized, you were known by your secular work and the work that you did. But now, you have the privilege of being known by a preacher or a teacher or one of those Jehovah's Witnesses. And what a beautiful badge that is that you'll be able to wear. So be proud of it and embrace it. Really, you baptismal candidates, your dedication and your baptism mark a turning point in your relationship with Jehovah God. And so you're encouraged, even as we are all encouraged, to prayerfully examine our personal circumstances, to see whether we can simplify our life or do more to be able to serve Jehovah in the full-time ministry, even as Jesus did. You know, Jesus didn't have a life exempt from pressures and temptations. It was after he was baptized that the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Do you remember what the first temptation was? Well, I invite you to open your Bible to Matthew chapter 4. And let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Let's look at verse 1 and then verse 3. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and then verse 3. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And verse 3, and the tempter approached and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. So what was the first temptation? Bread? Well, how are you going to tempt anyone with bread? Well, can I tempt you with bread right now? What about if I added some meat, some cheese, some mayonnaise, some mustard, some freshly cut tomatoes? Could I tempt you? It's likely many of you haven't eaten since 8 o'clock this morning. Is it sounding a little bit tempting to you? You know, friends, I'm sorry. I know it's lunchtime, but we're going to explore this, okay? So the account in 1 Kings chapter 19, that's the account where the angel provided fresh bread to Elijah. And if you remember the account, it mentions that not only did he get water, but he got the bread, but the bread was placed on heated stones. Well, I'm not an expert on bread, I'm not an expert on stones, but if you put bread on heated stones, it's going to become warm. It's going to be delicious. So Jesus, with his perfect taste buds, with his empty stomach, was faced with this temptation. Did he take it? Well, no, he didn't. And why? Well, because Jesus was never concerned with his own desires, his own wants. He always thought about his Father. And you know, what did he rely upon to refute the devil? Well, he relied upon the Scriptures. And you noted that throughout Matthew chapter 4. So friends, we're done talking about food for a little bit here. So your baptism is a public declaration. You've indicated now that you're on Jehovah's side, on his side regarding the issue of universal sovereignty. But you can be sure that the devil will attack you. You know, the devil knows the makeup of people. He knows our needs and our wants. And so he may tempt you with food, but he may not. He may tempt you with, probably, material things, the desire for more material things, or perhaps the desire for prominence at work or school, or maybe sexual immorality, or maybe he might even use alcohol to tempt you. But know this, he will personalize his temptation to fit you, just like he personalized his temptation to Jesus. You know what, let's illustrate it this way. Some of you brothers in the audience here are wearing a suit that has been tailored to fit you. So what did the tailor do? Well, he probably measured up your sleeves, measured up your back. He did quite a few measurements. And then he made a suit to fit you like a glove. So why am I telling you this illustration? Well, we can say the devil or Satan is a tailor. And he can measure you up from a distance. And then he can deploy the right temptation to try to trip you up. So be aware that the devil is very good at personalizing temptations to each and every one of us. But here's the good news. If you continue to rely upon Jehovah and rely upon his word just like Jesus did, you have the assurance that God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can handle. In fact, that is a scriptural assurance. Let's look at that account. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. So if you have it, it says, "No temptation has come upon you except what is common to men. But God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But along with the temptation, he will also make the way out so that you may be able to endure it." Yes, Jehovah promises to provide assistance to you. He will make the way out for you. So you can be confident that Jehovah will help you to resist Satan and his agents as long as you do your part and do your best to be determined to live by God's righteous standards. So now we'd like to interview a few brothers and sisters to see what has enabled them to follow Jesus' fine example after their baptism. We're going to interview Brother Jerry St. Martin from the Oxford congregation. So Brother St. Martin, when did you retire?
About 5 years ago in 2010, when I was 70 years old.
Okay. So prior to retiring, what did you find challenging about the ministry?
Well, two things, really. The first having to do with time. Not enough time to cultivate my return visits and do progressive Bible studies. And then we live and preach in a very diverse congregation where there's a lot of ethnic groups, and I was having a very difficult time talking to people of different cultures.
Okay, so what has helped you to have more success or even more zeal in the ministry?
Well, you know, the more time that you spend in the ministry, the better you get. And also more focused personal Bible study helped me very much to develop these return visits into Bible studies. Now I feel comfortable talking to different people of different cultures than what we are.
Okay, excellent. So Jehovah provides a lot of tools for us to be able to speak to these different ones. So do you have any regrets with your decision to have a greater share in the ministry?
Absolutely not. Regular pioneering is the best retirement project anybody could have. Keeps you mentally sharp, physically active, and also it's the almost daily association with your brothers and sisters. And then there's other privileges too, like being able to conduct a Bible study. And today I'm privileged to watch my Bible study get baptized in a few minutes here. It really doesn't get any better than that.
Okay, thank you very much for those heartfelt comments. So we're now going to interview Brother Genesee and April Hansen from the Fort McMurray congregation. Brother Hansen, when did you get baptized and how long have you been married for?
I got baptized on July 4th, 1992, so 22 years ago, and this September we'll have been married 15 years.
Okay, very good. Is that right, April? Okay, very good. Okay, Sister Hansen, the question to you, how did you simplify your life in order to share in the full-time service?
Well, 6 months after baptism, I started pioneering, but I soon realized to really do justice to my new occupation as a regular pioneer, I really needed to quit my demanding full-time job and find something part-time.
Okay, so what did that involve?
Well, it meant going from a secure government job to working part-time as a cleaner, which I had never done before. But with Jehovah's help, I was able to make it work, and I'm still pioneering today.
Okay, excellent. So the same question to you, Brother Hansen. What did you do to simplify your life in order to serve in the full-time service?
Well, I've been trying for years to get back pioneering, but my secular work just always seemed to get in the way.
So how did you finally accomplish your goal?
Well, with prayer, we decided to quit that work that was always blocking my pioneering and trust that I would find suitable work that would pay our bills and allow us to pioneer together. Within a week of making that decision, I was offered a job that to this day, 15 years later, continues to allow us to meet our needs and pioneer together.
Okay, well, that is excellent for us to hear that. So, Brother Hansen, do you have any regrets in simplifying your life in order to serve Jehovah more fully?
No, none at all. We continually are amazed at how generous Jehovah has truly been to us.
Okay, so the same question to you, April. Do you have any regrets in simplifying your life in order to serve Jehovah more fully?
Not even close. I'm convinced it's only because of us regular pioneering that we were able to be part of a historic preaching campaign in Israel. One city we worked in called Yavne hadn't been worked in since Jesus' day. We cannot thank Jehovah enough for what this experience has meant to us.
Okay, thank you for those wonderful comments. So we'd now like to interview Sister Jaren Dehusoff from the High Level Congregation. Sister Dehusoff, how old are you and are you still in school?
I'm 17, not graduated yet, and I hope to get my diploma soon.
Okay. So I understand in the past you took a courageous stand for the truth. Can you explain how you did that?
Well, by the time I was 7, both of my parents had left the truth. And for a long time, my dad was very opposed to the witnesses, even taking out a court order to restrict me from going to the meetings or having any literature in the house, and insisting that I show participation in some worldly holidays before I could go to bed.
Okay, so that sounds like a challenging situation. So did that discourage you from the truth?
No, but it did make it difficult to get to the meetings and out on service, and I finally had to tell my dad that I was getting baptized and wanted to pioneer.
Okay, so how were you able to cope with those circumstances?
Well, Jehovah's being there 24/7, he always gave that peaceful, calm feeling when I prayed to him, so I prayed to him a lot.
Okay, did anyone else help you?
Yes, brothers and sisters in the congregation and nearby relatives were always there for rides to the Kingdom Hall and with encouragement, so I really love them for helping me, as well as my auntie and uncle who studied with me after school, and the elders being supportive.
Okay, so what blessings have you enjoyed as a result of standing firm for the truth?
Many blessings. A few of them are that my mom came back to the truth, so I'm very happy to serve Jehovah with her. And I've also had the privilege of being able to pioneer for 2 years so far and attend the Pioneer Service School.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Yes, I'm very happy to be going for the third time on a Seldom Worked Territory campaign and camping with brothers and sisters from all over Alberta for a week this year, which is something I'm really excited for.
Okay, excellent. Thank you for your good example. So those interviews demonstrate that Jehovah continues to help us after rebaptism. Depending on what circumstances we're faced with, he will continue to give us his Holy Spirit to assist us. It's interesting that the account in Luke that talks about when Jesus was getting baptized, that we note actually when he was getting baptized that he was praying. So while that is not essential or a scriptural requirement that you pray during your baptism, having a prayerful attitude is certainly appropriate on this occasion. Therefore, you baptismal candidates, as well as all family members looking on, will want to maintain the appropriate level of dignity during the solemn and yet very joyful occasion, all to the honor of Jehovah. So this is the time when we'll ask the baptismal candidates to stand. So if you would please answer these two questions in a loud voice. So the first question, on the basis of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, have you repented of your sins and dedicated yourself to Jehovah to do his will? Your answer, please. Okay, excellent. We got two yeses. Very good. Okay, the second question. Do you understand that your dedication and baptism identify you as one of Jehovah's Witnesses in association with God's Spirit-directed organization? Your answer, please. Yes. Your clear, affirmative answers to these questions indicate that you are qualified for baptism as ordained ministers of Jehovah. So at this point, let us approach our God in prayer. Jehovah God, our hearts are filled with gratitude and filled with love for you. As we contemplate the wonderful step that our brothers and sisters have made to dedicate their lives to serve you, it brings us joy, and we know it brings you joy as you look down from the heavens and as you see these faithful ones making this very important decision. And so, Jehovah, may you bless them. May you help them to continue to find joy in your service, to be able to find joy as they associate with their brothers and sisters in their various congregations, and as they're busy in the preaching work. May you allow them to have success as they teach people the wonderful truths that they themselves have learned from your word. And may you help each and every one of us to encourage these new baptismal candidates to continue to progress, to continue to be part of the Christian congregation. And we certainly look forward to the time when all people on earth will know you, will serve you, even as we have at our convention. So we thank you for this time. We thank you for this wonderful day thus far we've had. And we feel very privileged to be able to approach you in prayer. Once again, Jehovah, may you bless these baptismal candidates. We know they've put much work into learning about you. They've deepened their appreciation for you by means of personal study, even as your son did. And we know even many of their teachers are here, and they rejoice with them as they're able to present themselves to be baptized. So please, may you bless the balance of this morning, the balance of this day. And we do realize we make many mistakes. We're very sorry. Please forgive us, and we give you praise and thanks, and we ask all of this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.